Colossians 3, verses 1 to 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Well, let me just say welcome to you as well. If you're a visitor here or you're looking into the Christian faith or a friend's brought you along, we're delighted you're here. The passage Jeremy read to us, you'll have figured out, is in the back of the little sheet you were given. And there are little numbers there. We call them verse numbers, and they just help you navigate round so you can find the bit I'm talking about if I talk about a verse. There used to be a TV programme called This Is Your Life. It was on TV till about 9 years ago, so some of you may have watched it when you were younger. But what happened was this. They invited on a special guest, and the special guest didn't know what was going to be happening, supposedly, until he arrived in the hall, and then he was confronted with this crowd of his friends and colleagues and members of the public, and the presenter would say, whatever his name was, "This is your life." And then he'd produce his life story set out in this red book, his famous red book. And guests would get up and they'd be telling stories about him or her, about the celebrity. And it was all good fun most of the time. But occasionally something embarrassing came out, something awkward, something the celebrity would have rather kept quiet. And once or twice there was a bit of a row on the show because of that. And I thought I might just ask you this evening, how would you feel if I produced a little red book with all your life set out in it? I mean, everything about you. How would you feel about that? How would you feel if people got up here and came up to the front to the mic and they told stories about you and things that had happened in your life? What if I could show a video on the screen there with everything on it that you've ever done and everything there that you've ever said and some account of all the things you've ever thought? How would you feel? If it was me, I'd be horrified. I'd be ashamed. It'd be like having your entire life put up on Facebook for everyone to read. It would be horrible. Most of us, I mean, let's be honest, most of us wish we were different. In some ways, don't you? I wish I was different. There's all sorts of ways I'd like to change. But change is really hard. I mean, isn't it? Think of New Year's resolutions. Are you someone who makes New Year's resolutions? I'm going to go to bed earlier. I'm going to study more. I'm going to go to the gym regularly. I'm going to be nicer to my brother. Whatever it is, how long do your New Year's resolutions last? If you're lucky, February? Maybe. And do you know why? I'll tell you why. Here's the reason. In the end, we always do what we want to do. That's it. We always do what we want to do. We can struggle to make ourselves different, to act differently, to speak differently, to think differently. We can try ever so hard. And you know what that's called? That's called religion. Trying ever so hard to be good. That's called religion. And religion comes from a Latin word which means to bind. Religious things are things we determine to do, rules we're going to follow, things we bind ourselves to that we think might make us better people. That's religion. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. Religion doesn't work. But you knew that, didn't you? But let me say it again. Anyway, religion doesn't work. If deep down you're wanting something else, all along it all comes to nothing. All your rules, all your resolutions, all your decisions, if deep inside you don't want them, and you don't really like them, and you'd rather be living like the old you, it all comes to nothing. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word religion. If you're visiting us tonight, I don't know what you expected to find. I don't know what you thought religion is. Maybe you think of steeples and stained glass windows and wooden pews. Is that what you think? Are you someone who remembers the crippling boredom of being forced to sit in church as a child or being sent to Sunday school or something like that? Or maybe you think of wild-eyed fanatics ranting in street corners. Or maybe you think of pathetic, well-meaning curates, ineffectual, hand-wringing, limp-wristed clergymen. And you say to yourself, well, do I want anything to do with that? And when people urge you to be better, when people want you to be more like Jesus, you know you can't. Even if you wanted to, you can't. Right? So, what can we do? Some of us make our escape into a virtual world. We go online, we create a new persona for ourselves in something like Second Life, where we can become the sort of person we'd like to be. We can become the sort of person we think other people might be attracted to. The sort of person that we would never dare to be in real life. And you see, you're not even stuck with it. You can change it. You can change yourself whenever you want on the internet, can't you? You can change yourself into whatever you want. And you know, that instinct is absolutely right. You do need a new life. We all need a new life. It's just that so often we look in the wrong places. So often we go about it the wrong way. What you need is not an imaginary life. What you need is not a virtual life. What you need is a new, real life. The old self gone and a new self born. And that is exactly what Christianity is all about. Becoming a new person. Recently in Sunday evenings, Jeremy mentioned it earlier, we've been looking through one of the books in the Bible, which is a letter to the Colossians. We believe that God speaks to us through the Bible. We've been looking at this letter by an early church leader called Paul to Christians in a place called Colossae, which is somewhere in Turkey in the modern days. And last Sunday evening, we saw Paul having a real go at religion. He was talking about the regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Is that what you think of when you hear the word religion? Kill joys, telling you what you must do, telling you what you mustn't do. Well, Paul wants nothing to do with it. Paul basically says God hates religion. He hates religion. So, how are we to change? If we know deep down inside that things aren't right, that we are wrong inside in different ways, how are we to change? It's not by obeying rules, because we can't do it. It's not by struggling to change, because it doesn't work. So what hope is there? What we need is a new heart. What we need is a whole new life. And that's what God offers us through Jesus. Christians believe that God came into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue us from ourselves. When we were helpless, when we are hopeless, God stepped in to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. The Bible records for us, the Bible is history, records for us how God entered the world in the person of Jesus. A little bit like, maybe like Shakespeare becoming a character in one of the plays he'd written himself. A little bit like your landlord becoming a lodger with you in your flat in Selly Oak. Do you think that's far-fetched, that God should do that? I thought so once. I thought it was unbelievable. But the Bible records the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. Jesus' teaching, Jesus' miracles done before crowds of people. Jesus' death executed as a threat to the governing authorities, publicly put to death. Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Maybe that's the hardest bit. Hardest bit to accept. Jesus came back to life. But loads of people saw Jesus alive again. They saw him being put to death. They saw him being buried. And they saw him alive again, and they marveled at it, and they told people about it, and they wrote it down. And that's the accounts we have in the Bible as history. Okay, but what has that got to do with us 2,000 odd years later? Well, Jesus came to draw us into a relationship with himself, into a relationship with God. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, paying the penalty for everything that's wrong in our lives, yours and mine, taking the blame. His death was our death. That's what we see in verse 3 there. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. His death is counted as our death. And Jesus rose from the dead with a new life, and he offers us eternal life too. It's there in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. A new life. Jesus came to give us a new status as children of God, and to change our hearts, and to change our desires, and to change us from the inside out, to give us a new life. We always do what we want to do. Yes, well, Jesus will change what we want. Jesus will change what we want. See, you can put a knife to someone's throat and make them a Muslim. That's just obedience to rules. Grit your teeth, do what you're told. But becoming a Christian is nothing like that. Becoming a Christian is something wonderful. It's a change of heart inside. Christianity isn't about fighting against our desires all the time. Christianity is about more and more having new desires and increasingly following those new desires. Breaking the mold because we have a new status as children of God. A Christian called Martin Luther used to tell a story about a king who marries a prostitute. And when they marry, that means the prostitute becomes a queen. And it isn't that she's made her behavior queenly and won the right to the king's hand. No, she is a wicked prostitute through and through. but her status has changed. She is at one and the same time a prostitute in her heart and a queen by status. And now she's learning how to behave as a queen. Now she's changing. And that's what it's like when someone becomes a Christian. Whatever you were before you became a Christian starts to change. You start living in keeping with your new status as a child of God. You start following your new desires. You start becoming a new person from the inside out. You set about putting to death things from your old life. Paul talks about some of them here in verse 5. Put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, evil desires, and so on. Put them to death. I don't want these things anymore, says the Christian. That's the old me. And you start to get rid of stuff in your life. Paul says something about that in verse 8. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language, get rid of them. These don't fit with the new me, says the Christian. And at the same time, you start thinking and living differently. Paul will go on further on in the letter to talk about the qualities that a Christian grows. And it works. It works. The changes are real. The changes are lasting. Because now I'm doing what I want to do, because God is changing me from the inside out, not wagging a finger at me and getting me to pretend I want something I don't want, but changing me really from the inside out. It's not that living like that makes me right with God. I tried that for years before I became a Christian. That doesn't work. You know what that's like? That's a bit like getting on the wrong train, going in the wrong direction, and then running up the corridor in the train the other way. That's hopeless. That's silly. No, it's once you're right with God that everything starts to change. And it's Jesus who makes me right with God. Jesus died a very cruel death, executed on a cross, to pay the penalty for how I've been living, how you've been living, taking God's anger for us, paying the penalty for us. It's life transforming. It's revolutionary. I'm sure you've heard of Che Guevara. Che Guevara was a leader of the revolution in Cuba in the 1950s. And one of the things he said that stuck in my mind is up there on the screen. If our revolution is not aimed at changing people, then I am not interested, said Che Guevara. And becoming a Christian is a revolution. It's a personal revolution, and it brings about astonishing change. The old me is overthrown in the revolution, and the new me is established. It's what the Bible calls a new creation. And it can be hard work to change, but nothing else can transform a human life. Not permanently, no one else but Jesus Christ. I read about a man who was habitually drunk and violent. And he used to come home from work every evening and he used to kick the dog. And then he became a Christian and he came home one evening and the dog bit him because it didn't recognize him. It's a struggle to change when you become a Christian. It means going against what everyone else is doing. But listen, only things that are alive swim upstream. Everything else floats down with the current. Only things that are alive swim against the stream. And it can be hard work. But become a Christian and God helps us, changes us, causes us to make real changes in our lives. God changes people and he comes looking for us to do that in us. He takes the initiative. He seeks us out. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you hear the Bible read, you hear what I'm saying, and you think, yes, God is speaking to me. I don't quite understand it. I don't know how, but I know somehow that God is speaking to me. I read about a teenage girl living in a middle-class suburb in New York, and she was a tearaway. She was always in trouble. And one day she was found in her posh school selling drugs in the school, and she was just expelled on the spot. And she couldn't face telling her parents. She got on the first train in the station near the school, and she just went wherever it was going, and it took her into downtown New York. And a month passed, 2 months, 3 months, and her parents were distraught. They searched everywhere. They put ads in the newspaper, nothing. They went on local radio, nothing, no sign. And in desperation, her mother printed out a photograph of herself and copied it 100 times. And then she went down into downtown New York and she puts it into all the bars and clubs and pubs in the center of the city. And that night, her daughter arrived at the CD club where she'd been working as a dancer. And she couldn't believe her eyes, because there on the table was a photograph of her mother on a bar table in that sleazy joint. And she picked it up and she turned it over, and on the back was a message. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home. And the girl's eyes filled with tears, and she grabbed her coat and she went home. Now look, what's your life like? Would you like to change? Do you know you need to change? Have you tried and failed? Well, maybe God is speaking to you this evening. Jesus can bring about a revolution in your life. The revolution you long for deep down. Only Jesus can bring it about. Jesus will give you a new life. Jesus will bring about real change. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home. God is speaking to you tonight. Don't just go away again. Come and speak to me or Jeremy after the service. There's some books and literature and a little table by the door. If you'll read them, they're free. Pick them up, take them away with you. But don't let the opportunity pass. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home.